Here we are on this Tuesday edition of Sports Call Insider Studios, and we have a very good friend, Eric McDade from State Farm, here with us. It's Covering the Bases with Eric McDade, and we're thrilled to welcome him into the program. So, Eric, we appreciate the time, man. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me.
We are so excited for this partnership and excited to spend a little time with you talking about any and everything going on in the wide world of sports. When we first met, here you are in this insurance game, but you told me, man, JJ, it is so cool what you get to do just to sit there and talk about sports.
That's right. I love sports, man, so to be able to talk about it with anybody is always a treat, and I've been listening to this show since I was 12, 13 years old, so it's pretty cool to be in the studio and get to talk some sports.
Yeah, we mentioned on Sunday, of course, we won another Abby Award from the Alabama Broadcasters Association, just the second award ever in the history of this program. That's now in its 27th year of operation, and someone like you growing up listening to the show, it's kind of wild how far this show has come and time flying as quickly as it has, but here we are, and still finding an opportunity to talk about sports 365 days a year.
That's right.
Did you just always grow up loving sports?
Yeah, man. So, always been a really big Auburn fan, man. Football, of course. Basketball is my favorite sport, but it was always a really big Auburn football fan. Always loved the Braves, too. I'm not a huge baseball fan, but my mom loved watching the Braves for some reason.
Right.
It's cool to watch them finally win again. And always just been a sports fanatic.
The Auburn football player that you just remember being captivated by or just a big-time fan, or like who was that first big athlete for you growing up?
Damian Craig, man. So my favorite Auburn quarterback.
That's an awesome answer.
I love Damian Craig.
Why do we not talk about him as much?
I don't know, man. He's real underrated. Damian was a beast.
And I'll be honest, the three of us in the studio right now, Eric, are going to have to talk strictly off of stats and highlights.
Right.
Right? Because we were not cognitive enough to know or watch during that time the Damian Craig. But we know more from the coaching sphere that he's gotten
That's
into
right.
and stops that he's had. But it was Damian Craig for you.
Yeah, Damian was different, man. If Damian was playing in this era, you know, he'd be much more appreciated.
Right.
You know, he was that dual threat quarterback before it was cool. So
you were always at the lunch table championing Damian Craig.
Oh, yeah,
all
for
your,
sure. 100%.
Who were the other players in the SEC football at that time that you were just like, that you think back with fond memories of? Or
in the SEC? I mean, you know, I hated everybody. I'm going to be honest, man. Peyton Manning was good. So, you know, you always had to give Peyton his props. LSU always had, you know, some pretty good players, but I was real locked in on Auburn, man. I pretty much hated everybody we went against. So
as you should. We're getting messages already. People love that Eric McDade is here with us in the studio. I'm showing this to you right now. Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Sports Call AU. Our buddy Ricky just wrote in at Sports Call AU. Eric is a great Auburn Raptors basketball coach.
That's right.
So people are already giving love that you're on the program.
Yeah, they know me.
Here we are.
That's right.
Here we are. Auburn Raptors basketball. You just do it all, man.
Yeah, I used to coach.
What is Coach McDade like?
I don't know. You have to ask the kids, man. I feel like I'm a pretty good coach, you know. Every team I ever coached was a winning team, so that's number one. I try to be hard on the kids, but be fair, man. So I feel like I was always a fun coach to play for. We win. I mean, it's always fun when you win. Coaching basketball is really one of my passions. I'm really looking forward to getting back to be able to do more of, for sure.
Yeah. Did we win a lot of games with the Auburn Raptors?
Yeah, won a lot of games, man. Had a couple of my kids go on and play in college. That's probably the coolest experience with that. But yeah, man.
That's so cool.
We won a lot, for sure.
That's so cool. Eric McDade here with us, covering the bases, talking all things hoops and sports and that sort of thing. So basketball being your favorite sport.
Yep.
March Madness is currently taking place.
Yep.
How much have you enjoyed the tournament?
Loving it, man. It's been fun. My bracket is still, I'm in a group with a bunch of guys. I don't want to brag, but right now I'm up. And so it's looking good for me, man. I hate the Auburn loss.
Right.
But, I grew up.
So is your bracket doing well because you didn't have Auburn going as far?
Yeah, man. I'm going to be honest. I picked Auburn to lose to Kansas.
Okay, in the Elite Eight.
In the Elite Eight. Okay. That's what I picked. But
so they bowed out a couple of rounds before that.
Went a little early, but yeah, man.
But Kansas made it to the Final Four, yeah, so that helps you out that you've got them alive.
That's right. I got Kansas winning the championship, so.
Right.
You know, I'm still
you're
alive.
Still alive.
I'm still
you're
alive,
still very
man.
Much so alive. What other Final Four teams? Is Kansas the only one?
Yeah, so, you know, I like Carolina.
Right.
I've always been a Carolina guy.
I was about to ask how you fell on the Carolina-Duke spectrum.
Yeah, so I'm Carolina,
Do you want to tell the folks our first meeting?
Yeah, so the first time JJ walked in my office, you know, he came and I was actually leaving my office, so I didn't have a lot of time to talk to him. But he had his Duke windbreaker on. And I told him, I said, man, next time you come in here, wear that Duke jacket, man, because I just don't like Duke. I know y'all starting to get the sense I'm a hater, but I just don't like Duke, man. I always was a real big Carolina fan. Shout out my guy, Garrison Brooks, man. He played for Carolina.
Right.
And he was an Auburn Raptor. He's from Auburn. So, but even as a kid, man, I always been a real big Carolina fan. So, really looking forward to this matchup.
Did you have the Tar Heels in the Final Four?
No, I didn't.
I was about to say, there's no way.
Did
you pick them to upset Baylor?
Yeah, I had them beating Baylor. So
okay.
That really helped me out. I'm rolling with the Tar Heels on Saturday.
Let's talk a little bit more about this. Duke is playing North Carolina in the Final Four on Saturday. College basketball's greatest rivalry. They've never met before in the history of the NCAA tournament. And I could talk about this for days and days and days, as you guys well know. Eric's a big Tar Heel. This is basically like if Auburn and Alabama were to compete in the college football playoff.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a big deal.
How do you think
deal.
You
it's,
would feel going into that game, Brandon?
Oh, we had this conversation
nervous.
The other day. I'd be a nervous wreck. I don't want that to happen.
And I am a nervous wreck
right
now.
I don't want that.
I didn't want this to happen, but you got to, face reality. And that's where we're at.
The thing is like, everybody else in the world would think it was the coolest thing ever. I think Duke and UNC meeting in the Final Four is freaking awesome. I love it. But, like, as a fan of one of those two schools,
right.
I'd be miserable.
Because winning is amazing.
Yeah.
Winning's
awesome. Winning
is amazing. But the idea of losing.
Well, you see.
Keeps you up at night.
But maybe that's a loser mindset to have.
No, it's not. Because here's the thing. For Auburn and Alabama, I'm looking at it through the lens of football here. If Auburn and Alabama meet in the college football playoff, it means one of those two teams has already beaten the other one. In their annual meeting, there has already been a winner and a loser.
Right.
If Auburn is in the college football playoff, they have beaten Alabama.
Right.
Auburn's not going to get into the playoff without beating Alabama. I don't think. I'd be shocked if that somehow happens.
See, you're looking at this way too realistically.
You say that every time you present me with a scenario, and I'm just, man, I think about these things.
I understand.
I think about these things.
Because that's a really good reaction that you're having there.
Yeah.
That, oh,
it's
they've
like,
already played
we've,
before.
We've
you're already
beaten
factoring
them.
In how Auburn is respected in the college football playoff landscape by the committee, and there's just no way that Auburn losing the Iron Bowl would then turn around and get in. But Alabama has lost the Iron Bowl before, and they've gotten into the college football
Correct.
Playoff. And I'm just over here like, Brent, just tell me how you feel. If Auburn's playing Alabama.
I'm outlining how I feel. This is how I feel about it.
Okay. It's a very realistic outline of how you feel.
Yeah, the thing is, in 2017, it almost happened. If Auburn beats Georgia in the SEC championship, they are most likely number one playing number four Alabama.
Which would have been epic.
It would have been awful.
Epic.
Awful.
Epic.
But just the idea that your rival could end your season.
Yeah. After you've already beaten them.
No, that's not.
I would say,
especially a juggernaut
that
like Alabama football.
I don't know why it's a college mindset that you don't want that. And here I am, kind of knowing that this is a reality for Duke now that this could take place.
I'm a Falcons fan,
in
right?
In professional sports, this happens, right?
Yeah, but
here's the thing.
The
Celtics.
Here's
the
thing.
Yankees and Red Sox.
Can I talk?
Yes.
In professional sports, the rivalries are not nearly as intense as in college sports.
But they're intense.
I'm a Falcons fan. I hate the Saints. I will always hate the Saints. I don't hate the Saints nearly as much as I hate Alabama.
Right.
Or Georgia.
But there are some parts of the country that would completely disagree with
you. Well, yeah, because they don't have college sports.
And that's why I need
And they're miserable.
But
their lives aren't as good as mine.
Take a, what's the word I'm looking for here, Brooks?
Whole world view.
A whole world view. Yeah. On the matter, because if we go out west, they're not going to feel as passionate about these college sports.
Yeah, look, Bears,
but
Bears and
really
Packers,
feel
fine.
Passionate about a great example.
Yeah, the Bears
right
and the Packers.
There.
They don't like each other, but
Yankees
players,
and Red Sox. Are you kidding me?
But players in those sports move back and forth all the time. Between the two teams.
And so it's more of a fan rivalry than it is a team rivalry. Like
exactly.
The teams don't like each other in pro sports, but most importantly, you know, you can get players coming. You can get a player, like you just look at, like you said, the Celtics and Lakers. You can get a player that played for the Celtics and the Lakers. It's just, you know, whatever. But that's more of a fan rival. The players understand. Rondo
has won a championship with both of them.
Isaiah Thomas do that as well?
Not quite.
Well, he played for both of them.
He played for both of them.
Yeah, not one directly to the other, but he did play for both of them.
But, you know, the players understand that the fans don't like, you're not supposed to like this team.
Yeah.
But, and you've got friends that are on that team that you've already played with probably in your pro career at some point, or you've played college ball with at some point. It's more of a fan rivalry in professional sports. In college, it is definitely a fan rivalry, but also you commit to a school and you're not going to, you know, unless we've entered a new world where you can transfer a lot more now, so it could happen more often. But going into it, you commit to, 4 years or 3 years or however many you're going to be at this school, and that is your biggest rival. And the entire school knows in every single sport that is your rival.
Yeah, here's the way I'm approaching it. Name one player, one football player that has transferred from Auburn to Alabama or from Alabama to Auburn. I can name one, and that's Corey Grant.
Right.
Corey Grant transferred to Auburn from Alabama. I can't think of another one.
Well, here's the coolest thing about this Duke UNC thing. The Tar Heels got a chance to end Coach K's career.
There's the career aspect, too.
You know, that could be the last game of
They already Coach ruined K's a career. Retirement party, right? That's what we're calling the last game inside of Cameron Indoor Stadium. That was set up with 100 former players, which we will never see something like that again, ever, ever in the history of sport, with the coach being there 42 years. Right? And walking away. The guys commentating the game, Jay Billis being one of them, played for the man, and now he's talking about first-round picks that are playing for the same coach. And you've got 100 players there, and North Carolina comes in and ruins the retirement party. That's brutal. So to come in and ruin the career and end it, can't have that happen.
That is something I did want to point out, because North Carolina right now, as it stands, going into the tournament, had the trump card. After beating Coach K in his last game at Cameron Indoor ever, they had the trump card. Duke now has been given a second life to try to redeem that, because what trumps Coach K's last game in Cameron Indoor is beating them in the first ever meeting in the Final Four to go to a national title. And then North Carolina can just pile on if they win. That's right. And so there's so many great storylines going into this game that I understand on the Carolina fan and the Duke fan side of things, how you're just a nervous wreck the entire week. But as a college basketball fan, I'm sitting over here. I would rather probably North Carolina win it, because I just, you know, I'm not a big Duke guy.
We all love to pile on JJ.
Yeah.
And it makes for great days on the show when he's miserable and we're all laughing at him.
But the fact that we get Duke, North Carolina for the first time.
He's also
in the
insufferable
four.
Anytime Duke does anything.
But that's true. In your life right now, you want Duke to win the game on Saturday. You're just not comfortable enough to say that.
I'll say this purely from a fan standpoint, approaching this as someone who just likes watching sports. I don't care who wins. But purely from a professional and like just knowing you, absolutely, I'm rooting for North Carolina.
Oh,
I'm going to be upset if North Carolina doesn't win.
You got some pretty good friends.
I do. How about this? What about Kansas and Villanova? Do we care at all about that game?
I have not watched either of those two teams at all this season. The Final Four will be the first game I watch for both of them.
They're really good teams.
They are, for sure.
They're really good.
I like Kansas.
Obviously. Yeah.
I told you I picked them to win the championship. So
right.
I'm rolling with Kansas, man. I think Villanova's got a good team, but I think their second leading scorer, Torres Achilles.
For Villanova, Justin Moore.
So I think that's going to be a tough one for them to overcome, man. I think you're going to see Kansas win that one pretty easily.
Let me bring up the fact that, you know, I do think Kansas is going to win that basketball game, not just for the – even before the injury, I thought that they would win. I think they're playing good ball right now with Abaji, and Christian Brown's doing his thing, shooting from the outside. Mike Krzyzewski won his first national championship in 1991 by defeating Kansas.
Wow.
So how big of a storybook ending would that be? It's already storybook to win it going out on top. But then, Brooks, you beat the team that you beat in your first national championship game. I mean, Hollywood is waiting for this.
I would bring up the other thing is Coach K's first national championship was against Kansas, won it. His last appearance in a national championship game, Kansas got to redeem themselves and beat Coach K.
Well, I don't like that outline.
But I'm just saying, you got to point out. Listen, if you want to point out the storylines, I'm pointing out storylines here.
Was it Bill Self forever ago, too?
It was Roy Williams, actually.
No. Really?
It was Roy Williams. He went to four Final Fours as the Kansas head coach, and then went to five Final Fours as the North Carolina head coach, and won three national championships.
You know, I read that Kansas has only had eight men's basketball coaches.
Isn't that crazy?
Since 1898.
Wow, really?
If you get that job,
only you're one with a losing record. James Naismith, the dude who invented basketball. That's crazy.
That is wild. That is wild. You invent the game and you have a losing record.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Why does that happen?
It'll leave you behind, man.
I don't know, man. I feel like
it'll leave you behind.
The refs can't call travel on my players. I invented the game.
Yeah, exactly. Can you try and get Naismith on the line?
Yeah, I'll see what I can do. Yeah, I don't know if he's available.
Just see if James is available today.
Our friend James.
Yeah. Say, hey, did you realize you invented the game of basketball and had a losing record? Can I keep throwing out fun facts about the NCAA tournament?
Absolutely.
Coach K?
Hey, go for it.
Hey, unfortunately, James Naismith passed away in 1939, so I don't think he's available.
Oh, man, not going to be able to get a hold of him? Tough. All right, so Mike Krzyzewski. One is going to play North Carolina for the 100th time on Saturday. So right now he is 50-49 versus North Carolina.
Oh, they gotta lose.
If he loses, he finishes with an even 500 record. If he wins, he will always have the upper hand over North Carolina. 51-49.
Let's go Tar Heels.
Mike Krzyzewski has 101 NCAA tournament wins. 101 NCAA tournament wins over 42 years. If a coach were to win the national championship next year and then win 16 straight national championships, they still would not have more NCAA tournament wins than Coach K.
Okay.
If
that
you
sounds...
won 16 straight national championships in men's basketball, you still would not have more wins than
that
guy.
That sounds really cool until you realize that the NCAA tournament is at most 6 games.
Yeah.
It is just 6.
Right.
So
that's 6 for 16 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
that's
still
not a lot.
To 100.
But 6 times 16 is still not 100.
I know. I'm showing you how impressive it is that he's at.
But you know what? You would have 11 more national championships.
Exactly.
Yes, I understand.
So you're telling me he averages 2 NCAA tournaments?
Every time he's in there. Every time he's in there.
Unless he faces, you know, Mercer or Lehigh.
You hush.
Shout out to the Bears, man.
Yeah.
Shout out to the Mercer Bears. The hometown Mercer Bears. I love Macon, Georgia.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Let's do this. Eric McDade with us. Covering the bases with Eric McDade. We do this every single week. Let's tell you about our Sports Call Player of the Week.
Sports Call's Player of the Week.
United States soccer midfielder Christian Pulisic is Sports Call's Player of the Week. Brought to you by Eric McDade State Farm. The Chelsea star scored his first hat trick in international competition in a World Cup qualifier against Panama on Sunday, securing a 5-1 victory and putting the U.S. men's national team on the brink of qualifying for this year's World Cup in Qatar. Pulisic was also given the captain's armband before the game, something he called, quote, a huge honor. Christian Pulisic is Sports Call's Player of the Week, brought to you by Eric McDade State Farm.
Eric McDade State Farm is a proud supporter of local sports in the community we all live in. Eric McDade has been proudly serving the local community since 2019. Whether you need auto coverage, home coverage, life insurance, or even renter's coverage, you can rest easy knowing that Eric McDade has your back. Stop by and see them today at 907 2nd Avenue Suite A in Opelika, or for more information, call 334-759-7431, or find them on the web at drivewitheric.com. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Eric McDade State Farm, proud to be a supporter of local sports in the community.
All right, it's our Player of the Week presented by Eric McDade State Farm, who's hanging out with us right now. It's Covering the Bases with Eric McDade, and Christian Pulisic is the Player of the Week, Brooks. And we heard your voice a moment ago telling us why he deserved to win that award.
Can I admit something?
Yeah.
I didn't watch any of the game on Sunday night.
You were occupied.
I was occupied. I was grabbing an award.
You were at the Abby Awards.
But I did see the highlights.
Yes.
And phenomenal. Listen, I follow soccer. I think the heaviest of most anyone in this office. And I frequently keep up with Pulisic at Chelsea. And he's been up and down at Chelsea. And then he's also been a little bit up and down with the men's national team. There's portions of it where it definitely he looks like the guy that everyone claims, you know, everyone says, oh, he's, you know,
the chosen one.
The chosen one for U.S. soccer. He is, I heard this on a podcast yesterday, he is the Magic Johnson of U.S. soccer. He is going to make this team better, no matter how he's playing. There's so many young players that are coming into U.S. soccer right now. He's not going to be the guy that's going to revolutionize U.S. soccer and take them to a World Cup glory here this year. I think but he can win a few games, and he makes this team so much better for playing on it. And you saw that Sunday night with a hat trick versus Panama, getting them on the cusp of getting to the World, of qualifying for the World Cup. So much so that because of how they scored, they have to lose by 6 goals on Wednesday against Costa Rica to fail to qualify. Costa Rica has to beat the U.S. by 6 or more goals.
So we feel pretty good about the United States qualifying for the World Cup. After not qualifying for the World Cup the last time it was around.
Because you couldn't draw, because you couldn't get a draw with Trinidad and Tobago.
Right.
You now do not have to worry about that.
Thanks to Christian Pulisic.
Yeah.
If you had just played Trinidad and Tobago, maybe it's fine, but you had to play both of them.
2 PKs. And
it's like playing William and Mary.
Third goal. And Eric, I know your son's big in the soccer space. Did you play a lot growing up or no?
No, I played 1 year of soccer, man.
So you've had to learn way more about it.
Yeah, I had to learn the game, man.
The beautiful game. Help
teach my son, coach my son a little bit, but yeah, he's far better athlete than I was. Yeah, for sure.
Well, what do you think about Pulisic in the United States soccer team?
It's good, man. He's probably the best soccer player we've had.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think Magic Johnson's a really good comparison. You know, he's not the guy that's going to, you know, he's not going to be one of the top 5 players in the world, but he's somebody that can, you know, we can build a team around. So I like their chances going into the World Cup.
He's so exciting, and the fact that he plays in the Premier League is excellent. It gives you kind of that American reason to watch what's going on over there, and we certainly hope that they've got a big, deep World Cup run coming their way, because I'll tell you, some of my favorite memories growing up were when the United States would be playing World Cup matches and going absolutely crazy with everybody around you when Clint Dempsey scored or something like that.
Yeah.
Because
the big turning point, I would think, was South Africa when Landon Donovan scored against, I think it was Algeria.
Uh-huh.
And just, it was like the 89th or 90th minute or something like that to punch their ticket through to the next round.
Pandemonium.
Yeah, and it was just awesome.
That was awesome, yeah.
That was dope.
I think Auburn is a great... Well, excuse me. I think Auburn is a great illustration for how the United States feels about sports, in that if you're not very good, probably not going to pay a ton of attention. If you get good, people will be behind you 100%.
Over the top.
If you become a winner, then people are going to love you, and they will have
full
support.
It's funny how that
works. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And
And Duke fans get backlash for that. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, it's...
All right.
I think it is common, but I think Auburn is a great example of it, and I think that you're going to see that with America. The better that American soccer gets, the more and more people will become fans, the more and more people will get behind it. If American soccer is able to make a run at the World Cup, and I don't think they will this year, they might in 4 years. Who knows?
Well, yeah.
But if they're able to do that, I think you're going to see fan support out the roof.
How are you playing soccer?
4 years from now.
4 years from now, we're going to be nice.
It's going to be, I mean, the World Cup's here.
Yeah, a 19-year-old debuted on Sunday for the United States, and so many more of these young players are debuting, and to get more experience like that, it's going to be great. I can't wrap this up without hearing this. How are you at soccer?
I played 1 year of soccer. I was in like third grade. I scored 2 goals in the season. I don't know how many games we played. I played some goals. Dude, we were
what
just
kids.
What
do you remember about it?
I remember scoring 2 goals. I remember that I played with a kid named Rufus, who I did not. Rufus Crane, who was the best player on our team by a long shot. He was the only guy who had ever played soccer before. I did not talk to Rufus from the time I was in third grade until I got to high school. And when I got back in high school, he also played football. He was our kicker.
Okay. And you started talking to Rufus again?
Rufus and I Yeah.
Okay.
We then knew each other again.
Shout out to Rufus.
Shout out to Rufus Crane.
I don't know where he is today, but
Brooks, yeah. You and I went to college together.
That's right.
Before we met this young lad, Brant Daughtry, yeah. And so we happened to play on an intramural soccer team together.
Play is light. I would say that's.
I scored a goal. Right. Played 1 year of soccer when I was 5, and I do not have any memories of it other than the fridge at my grandparents' house. I've seen a picture of it before, right?
Okay.
But we're playing intramural soccer together.
Yeah. I scored a goal. I was the coach.
Yeah, that's right. I didn't even play.
Yeah, I was the coach.
And coach in intramurals.
Well, it was because we had, you can only have a certain number of players on the field.
Right.
And I was no good whatsoever athletically in general. Just look at me.
Right.
Just not the peak of athleticism over here. But there, we had so many people that had actually played soccer at some point in their life that they were, I'm like, y'all are not coming off the field.
Right.
Let's just go out there. I will, quote unquote, coach. And so I yelled, I should have worn a suit.
You would try to take me out of the game, and I would be like, Brooks, stop. Don't take me out of the game. And then I would just talk trash.
And then you would come over to me and you'd just be like, we got to make some substitutions. I'm like, I'm trying. You won't come out.
Can I get a plug in for Auburn High Soccer real quick?
Yeah. Well, one second. Let me finish my epic goal story. All of a sudden, there's a free ball right in front of the net, and I knew what to do with it. I said, I know what to do. This is the moment I've been waiting for, and that was the one goal I scored. Everyone was wide open, or I was so wide open, and I scored, and it was amazing.
I found Rufus on Facebook.
Oh, shout out to Rufus. All right, yes, let's do this. Eric McDade, State Farm here with us. Auburn High Soccer doing amazing things right now.
That's right, man. Hey, Auburn High Soccer, my son Jeremiah is one of the players. He's a junior at Auburn High. They're ranked number 7 in 7A right now. So,
what number does Jeremiah wear?
He's number 5.
Number 5 nice. Out there on the pitch.
Number 5, man. So,
okay. Were you number 5?
No, I was number 2.
Okay.
Yeah, number 5. It's
you like the number 5 on him?
Yeah, it's a lucky number. My birthday is the 5th. My wife's birthday is the 5th, and then he was born in May, the 5th month, 2005. So it just kind of...
How about that?
So, but yeah, man, they got a really good team. Coach Bill Ferguson is amazing. The girls are really good, too. Y'all should come check them out, man. They play again on Thursday at Smith Station. So y'all come support the Auburn High boys, man.
Absolutely. Really it's going to be amazing to do that. We appreciate the love there. And this is Covering the Bases with Eric McDade, State Farm. You're going to be able to hear this after the fact on our website, thetiger.fm, and on social media. Tags will be out there every week. We've got Player of the Week presented by Eric McDade, State Farm. And a couple of times a month, Eric's going to hop in the studio, and we're going to do our Covering the Bases segment here with him. Before you get out of here, what's going on in the insurance world, Eric? Like, what do people need to know about? DriveWithEric.com?
That's right.
What's big right now this time of year?
Hey, man, everybody, one thing we really try to talk to everybody about is life insurance. I think that's the most important thing that, I was telling somebody this the other day. You know, we pay money to protect our cell phones. You know, that's crazy, right? We spend a lot of money on all kind of things, man. Protecting yourself, I think, is a really big thing. Protecting your income for your loved ones just in case something happens to you. So life insurance is always on the top of our mind with our customers. And I think, if people are interested in information about that, they can reach out to us. But we want to make sure everybody's got some coverage in that way, because you don't want to leave your loved ones with a burden. So definitely that's one of the biggest things around this time of the year that we try to take care of.
No doubt about that. DriveWithEric.com. Eric McDade here with us. And yeah, we appreciate it. Covering the Bases. That wraps up the first edition of it. And Brooks, I enjoyed that. I thought that was awesome.
Appreciate
Great to have you, Eric.
Maybe we'll have a little bit better takes next time in regards to the North Carolina Tar Heels.
Well, hopefully.
Hopefully,
we are.
Eric says we're going to have something to talk about.
I'm not coming if North Carolina loses.
Oh, and I think we need to settle the LeBron and Jordan debate at some point as well.
Listen. You'll get my take on that next.
We'll end it on that. We'll end it on that one. That's
what they call
covering
tease
the bases.
The business, right?
Yes, it is, with Eric McDade. And that wraps up the second hour of our show. We've got to take a quick timeout and then more Sports Call right after this. Brant Daughtry, Eric McDade, Brooks Childress. I'm JJ Jackson.